B-Pod Studios.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Felger and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where do you stand on extension for Don?
I started talking with Charlie and Mr. Jacobs after the deadline about extending Don. So that's my plan is to do that.
Is it their plan as well?
Yes.
Is it just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's?
Well, I'm going to sit down with Don next day or two and hopefully hammer something out.
Is there a reason why it's lasted this long?
To be honest, I really wanted to see how the year went. We had a lot of changes last offseason. So I just really wanted to see how that played out. Obviously, you get January, February, March, really good months for us. Team really came together. I thought we had a lot of depth. And I was happy with what he did at the deadline.
All right, so Don Sweeney's good, I guess. According to Bruins president Cam Neely today, this is how we're going to start with some Bruins stuff. Maz and Murray alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios. How you doing, Maz?
Good, you?
Do you have any thoughts before I go?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
Go ahead.
I'm a little surprised. I thought based on the way the thing went the other day that it was more likely that Sweeney was gone. Because, again, I don't think you get to this stage without having a guy have an extension. Then get bounced in the first round, regardless of by whom. And look outclassed in the process, even though it went seven games, and survive. I don't get it, frankly. And I thought Sweeney was gone. I'd have pulled the plug. I think they're going to be in for a couple of lean years here, and I'm not confident that they can fix it, given what they inherited and that the fact that they were supposed to have fixed it already. So. I'm surprised. I did not think Don Sweeney was going to survive this. I had questions as to whether Cam would survive it.
So apparently it's not done yet. So you can still have questions about the process. Did you have a thought, Big Jim?
I do, yeah. Nepotism isn't just a problem in Foxborough. It's a problem on Causeway Street, too. It's his buddy. So, you know, he's going to stay. That's the way I look at this. Don Sweeney should be out, fired by new GM. But it's Cam's boy. They're buddies. Played together. So he gets to stay.
So it's that, and it is the same playbook we have been dealing with for basically the entirety of Jeremy Jacobs' ownership, or really, I don't know, my lifetime, call it. And that is, if the GM makes the playoffs, he stays, he throws the coach under the bus, and all the Jacobs really want is home playoff dates, and they got three. Maybe there was even an over-under. If we only get two home playoff dates, you're out. If you get three, you're in. I don't know. The part that stuck out to me right there, again, just think of the process. So Neely went to Charlie and the Jacobs, Mr. Jacobs. I assume that means Jeremy, so he's still got a hand in it. And there's a whole side piece about the Jacobs. When's the last time we heard from those guys? When's the last time we heard from anyone, any Jacobs, as it relates to the Boston Bruins, on anything related to the hockey team? When's the last time? Did we ever find it, Kevin? We went looking, right? When's the last time? Couldn't find it? Someone out there.
You and I at the Winter Classic with them in the bar in Chicago?
Oh, did he come by the bar?
Remember that?
Barely.
What year was that? That wasn't 19, was it?
That was 19.
Okay.
Was it?
So
that might have been it.
So listen, someone out there with Google or with more time, try and find me the last time Charlie Jacobs, Jerry Jacobs, Cheryl Jacobs. I made that up. There's six Jacob kids. I don't know their names. Tell me the last time a Jacob spoke regarding their hockey club. I can't find it. So I'm sorry. Where was I? Where was I on this? Oh, it's the same old, same old. Same old, same old. The Jacobs just want their home playoff dates. Cam Neely said in there that, so okay, you went to the Jacobs after the trade deadline, said I want to extend Don. They said okay. But then he said I wanted to see how the year played out. Well, how did the year play out? You got bounced in the first round. That's okay. So I wanted when an owner says I want to see how the year plays out, and the team gets bounced in the first round and is outclassed in doing so, and you're absolutely right to say that. It was a 7-game series, and they only lost 3-2 in game 7, but I'm sorry, they got blown out 3-2. They were outclassed in that series. On what planet is that okay? I know the planet. Planet Jacobs. Planet Jacobs. Harry did it for 30 freaking years. Just make the playoffs. Give Jeremy home playoff. That's where they make their money. It used to be this way. I don't know if it this way exists anymore. You break even in the regular season. The players stop getting paid in the postseason. Every postseason game and gate was $1 million on top, and that was it. And that's all Jerry cared about. And so Harry kept his job for 30 freaking years, never won a thing. And just blamed the coach. Whenever it got close or itchy or tight, Harry fired the coach. And that's exactly where we are now. Not that Cassidy's fired, but he was put on notice today. Because Neely says, I like what Don did at the deadline. I like the way we finished. I talked to Charlie about an extension, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's coming, I suppose.
Yeah, he said we're going to get it hammered out here in the next couple of days, right?
But when asked about Bruce Cassidy and the coaching staff, here's what he said.
Can you sit here and say that you would want Cassidy back?
I think we have to look at making some changes as far as how we play and the way we do some of the things.
Here we go.
I think Bruce is a fantastic coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's he's brought a lot of success to this organization. I like him as a coach, so we'll see where it goes. But I do think we need to make some changes, and I think Bruce a couple days ago alluded to that. So we'll see where that goes.
So now he's on notice. He's on notice. That's your fall guy. And I'm not saying they couldn't use a coaching change. Maybe they could. Certainly, you know, there's a shelf life to these guys, and Cassidy rides players harder than most, and so maybe he's reached a shelf life. I'm just saying it's clear what's going on here. Sweeney stays, Cassidy goes. He's the fall guy. That's the problem. If you're assessing Bruins' problems, would you say it's more personnel or more coaching? And let's say they're both problems, but what's first, what's second?
Personnel, yeah. Number one. Personnel, number one. Cassidy, number two. The coaching, number two. I think it starts with personnel. That one, to me, is like not even a discussion. That's one where it hits you in the face. Look at their drafts. Look at their drafts. It's that simple. Like, I don't think we need to, like, you know, circumcise the mosquito, as you like to say.
What is Bruce Cassidy supposed to do with Trent Frederick? First round center, desperate, huge position of need, drafted as a center in the first round. And can't play? I don't know. What's a coach supposed to do about that guy? Is that Bruce Cassidy's problem? So I'm sorry, keep going.
No, there's not much more to say. To me, it's personnel first. Now, look, I told you when you asked me the other day, I said I'd blow the whole lot of them out. Like, I think they need a change there. And Neely and Sweeney, to me, feel linked. Okay? And I don't mean just that one, you know, one is one's buddy. I mean that if Sweeney's Neely's guy, and he is, I think you also have to look at Neely at this stage. So the idea that Neely wanted to see what happened at the deadline, I don't know if I fully buy it. I mean, I think that Neely might have had to go back to ownership and justify his own existence after the deadline. That's sort of how I felt. Like, maybe they were all put on notice. Now, I also said to you that the part that worries me with Cassidy going forward is I feel like, especially if Bergeron's gone, that team's going to tune him out. They started to already. So if you're going to be in a situation in the middle of next year where you have to fire the coach, well, then what the hell are you waiting for? Do it now.
To the point where, and you're so right, he's on notice. I mean, they told us today the changes have to come with the coaching, and Bruce has to change. Well, as soon as you do that, he's twisting in the wind.
Exactly.
Now Cassie's got to do something he doesn't want to do or isn't wired to do, try and be something that he isn't. The players already know this guy's on notice. He's walking the plank. We got to even listen to this guy. We got to just wait for the next guy. Cassidy's port. If I were Cassidy, I'd say, no, I'm not changing. Fire me. Because Bruce would get a job like that. He can coach. And he'll get another crack. He's proved enough. And I just bite the bullet and say, you know what? Whatever changes you want me to make, I'm not going to do it. F you. fire me.
The only other thing I wonder about Neely's comments, just quickly, is there a chance that they want staff changes and Cassidy's giving him resistance? In other words,
sure.
You know, that maybe it's about some of the assistants on the staff. And I don't know. I'm just asking.
Sure.
But there's clearly, you know, the onus was clearly put on the staff.
Well, I mean, right. So you say, you know, the power play just absolutely went in the toilet. Usually there's an assistant coach that handles the power play. I don't know. Is that Sacco? Is that Chris Kelly's back? I don't know their staff like I should. I'm sorry. But whatever. There's a guy on the staff that does the power play. Is that the change? You know, blame the hitting coach. That's the first thing that usually goes with the Red Sox, right? Fire the hitting coach. Or it used to be with the Patriots, fire the offensive coordinator. So fire the special team, the power play coach. But here's the bottom line. It's the same old crap. Blame the coach. I'll start just when Harry Sinden took over as GM. Tom Johnson, Bep Godelin. I remember to pronounce that name. Do you want to pronounce that name?
No idea.
Bep Godelin, Don Cherry, Fred Creighton, Harry came down. Jerry Cheevers, Harry came down again. Butch Goring, Terry O'Reilly, Mike Millbury, Rick Bonus, Brian Sutter, Steve Casper, Pat Burns, Mike Keenan, Robbie Fatorik, Mike O'Connell came down. Mike Sullivan, Dave Lewis, Claude Julien, Bruce Cassidy. Just rifle through them. It's always their fault. It's always their fault, Harry. Start there. Save your job. It's very simple. The guys in Buffalo don't really pay attention. They just look at the line, and you're giving them home playoff date, so it's very easy for you to fly up to Buffalo and say this coach doesn't know what he's doing and go through the next guy. Same old thing, and that's what's coming here. If I were Cassidy, I'd tell him, no, I'm not changing. Fire me. Pay me. Pay me. And if you don't want, and then he's a free agent, maybe he gets a job, maybe he doesn't, but pay me. I'm not making your changes. That's what I would do if I were Bruce Cassidy. Your thoughts on the state of the Bruins right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If Bergeron doesn't come back, do you foresee, whether it's this summer or next summer, that, you know, there's an appetite for a major rebuild?
Well, I mean, I've been looking at that for a while now, because as you know, as your core players and your better players are starting to age out, you do have to look at that. There's no question. But we do have some good young players in this lineup that, you know, hopefully continue to grow, and hopefully we can add to that. But it is something you think about. You know, 2019, we lose in seven in the finals. 2020, we're leading the league, and the world falls apart. You know, we've got to be better. We need to be better last playoffs. I thought this year, I honestly really felt really good that we were going to get by Carolina in game seven. I really did. I knew it was going to be tough 5-on-5. But like I said, we didn't draw any penalties to give us a chance for our better players to produce on the power play. And, you know, those are things we've got to look at to improve upon.
Blaming the refs in there subtly. And also, hey, Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals 3 years ago, President's Trophy the next year, when COVID hit and blew up the league, it's not so bad. Man, I think they have a little bit of a case there. I actually do. I'm not as big on blow the whole thing up as some people are. What I am big on is, well, let's just throw the coach under the bus again. Let's just change the coach. When the drafting has been horrid and the personnel work has been average at best. I know a lot of you think it's been below average, but I'll give them, you know, I said I give Don Sweeney somewhere around the C range for a grade. But let's just blame the coach. Cycle through another coach, Harry. I mean, Don. I mean, Cam. But just go to Buffalo and blame the coach and get a new one. There you go. There's a lot of evolution down there on Causeway Street.
It's just ridiculous. Again, point to some of the personnel. How is Trent Frederick a Bruce Cassidy problem? Is Earl Vakanainen a Bruce Cassidy problem? No.
I mean, he's throwing out when you get into the, I know there were some injuries and whatnot, but he had, what was Brown's first name?
Josh Brown.
Josh Brown and Mike Riley, or who was it? How is that Cassidy's problem? Your first D pair, one of those games was Carlo Grizzlick. How is that Cassidy's issue? And they actually think they won that one.
They did. That was when McAvoy was out. They won it.
So, but look, if Cassidy's lost the room, he's lost the room. He's got to go. I'm not one of these, you know, bobos that you can't fire. Of course you can fire the coach. It's just, you know, what are we doing?
Well, what do you put first? You put first the talent or the coach?
Oh, my God, the talent. Not even close.
All right.
Not even close. I think for the most part, the team still played hard. For the most part, or did their best. I think they're limited. And that's not every guy. But the guys that don't give it all, I don't blame Bruce Cassidy because Jake DeBrusk is a dog. And I don't blame Bruce Cassidy because Taylor Hall is a loser. I mean, those guys are proven. Jake DeBrusk is Jake DeBrusk, a big baby. And Taylor Hall's lost and, you know, peed on every place he's been on. So, of course, it starts with the personnel. But then, you know, but I believe me, when you lose the room, you lose the room. You can't fire the room. But if they're just going to tell Bruce Cassidy he's got to change, and which is basically putting him on notice, and they have a bad first month, he's gone, I tell them to go F themselves. Fire me now. Pay me. Fire me now and pay me. Or I'll go get another job. Some good coaching, you know, openings that just Vegas just opened. Did they fill the Islanders job? I don't even know. But whatever, there's some jobs out there. He'd do just fine. F you, fire me.
Yeah, they might even know that that's what he'll say to him. Because again, the way that Neely said that, you know, we're going to talk. We'll see how that goes here in the next little bit. It didn't sound all that confident that Cassidy would be receptive to the idea of changing his style.
To your phones. Here's Cam in Marblehead. Hi, Cam.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Why the hell would they get rid of Cassidy? Their power play coach, Patrick McDonald, he's the one that really sucks. And they want to get rid of Cassidy. Basically,
who's the power play coach?
The power play coach, McDonald.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he's doing at all. If they get rid of Cassidy, I'm going to boycott next season. Look, they got McLaughlin, local guy. He's going to be good for them next year.
He is? I'm just going to stop you. He is? And fire the hitting coach. Fire the offensive coordinator. I mean, if he sucks, fine. Fire him. Is that really the problem?
No, it's talent. It's talent. Again, they've got nothing coming through the system. You know, maybe a couple of guys now, Liesel and Laurie, if he pans out.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You know, so me too. I feel the same way because all the hype that came along early in this process. The one thing I'll give Sweeney, like I will give him the Lindholm deal, right? You have Vaakanainen, first-round pick, didn't necessarily turn into what you wanted him to be, but at least you'd be able to use him as part of a package to go get yourself a legit defenseman on that side. Fine, I'll give you props on that. But overall, their forward group is zero.
Andrew in the car. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, hey, guys. What's going on? So, bottom line, you guys said it a couple seconds ago, but is a C good enough for Boston? You know, as the grade for Sweeney, is a C good enough? Or should we be striving for more as the team that we are and, you know, who we are and, you know, an original six team? What are we doing holding on to Sweeney for if he's not making us better? I get Cassidy's probably not the greatest option, but, you know, if he's tuned out, he's tuned out. But I don't understand why it's immediately just fire the coach. And
okay, you know, I'm with you. What if the owner just cares about home gates and three is enough? He got three home gates, and that's all that he's really been looking for. It's all he's ever been looking for. So what if that, and I'm telling you, you should want it. We should want it. But for Pete's sake, and part of that answer on Don Sweeney today, when Cam Lee says, I wanted to see how it worked out in the second half. It worked out poorly. What are we talking about? They had, I think in the regular season, they had the best record in the NHL since January 1 or something like that. They were first or second in the league since January 1. They had a big COVID break and, you know, like took 2 weeks off. And when they came back from that point forward, they had the first or second best record in the NHL. Is that all the Jacobs care about? They go into the playoffs and they get three home playoff dates and that's enough? And is their break even two home playoff dates? So, Sweeney, I'm talking out loud, but on what planet?
Yes!
On what planet is one and done good enough?
This one.
Planet Jacobs. Rocco in Maine. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, guys. So to me, one of Sweeney's first moves was getting rid of Milan Lucic. And that should hold us everything then, because ultimately, who did they get in that trade? Trent Frederick.
Okay, that was a great trade. You got a first-round pick for that lumbering stiff who did exactly nothing. I mean, he just bounced around. He's been on. He's been out west the whole time. A first-round pick for Milan Lucic is a freaking score. And what Sweeney did...
Didn't they basically get two out of
that? Yeah, so they traded Dougie Hamilton and between... And I'll put it all together for you in a second if you want. But between trading Doug Hamilton and Milan Lucic, they ended up with... Remember the goalie Martin Jones? They had him for a second. Then they flipped him. They ended up with two extra first-round picks for Lucic, who they weren't going to re-sign anyway and they shouldn't have. And Doug Hamilton, who they weren't going to re-sign anyway and shouldn't have. I hate both those guys. I mean, I hated what Lucic became. He lost it by the end. And he's done nothing out west. He's hung on, but he hasn't been a big factor. You don't miss Milan Lucic. And you sure as hell don't miss Doug Hamilton. You got two first-round picks from that. He did well. Then he drafts Zboril and Senishin. Okay, DeBrusque was their own pick. But I think that's what came with those picks. Maybe I'm off of...
No, I think you got it right. Colin Miller was in it, too. It was Colin Miller, a first-round pick, and Martin Jones for Lucic, Mike. Then they flipped Jones for another first.
So they had three firsts at the end of the day, and maybe one of those was the next year for Frederick.
Right, something like that.
It's what they did. It's how they drafted. The trades were good. It's how they drafted. Their drafts have blown. But no, let's blame the coach. Max in the car, or the special teams coach. Max in the car. Go ahead, Max.
Mike, you mean for coming into this at the top of the hour for the show, hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. It's all about the Jacobs. The Jacobs, they're not championship-driven. They translate mediocrity, and it translates right down into management and into the players, where just being good enough is acceptable. It's not championship-driven. Nobody is accountable. And so, you know, this management team, even if they got rid of them, it still wouldn't be the answer.
I agree. I'm just going to cut you off. I just got a text from Vinny, our producer, who says, Haggerty says there's no McDonald on the Bruins coaching staff. The caller's trying to screw with us. Fine. I don't know who the special teams coach is. I thought it was Sacco, but I don't know. I don't know. Did the caller say Ronald McDonald is the power play coach?
I don't know. I think it was Sacco. I thought Sacco was the power play guy.
I don't know. I don't know who that is. I guess I could Google it here in a second. Do I need to know the special teams coach? I guess I should, but I'm sorry, I don't. I don't know if it's Ronald McDonald or Ben McDonald. I even know who that is.
Norm.
Norm McDonald, right. There is no McDonald on the staff. I thought it was Sacco, but anyway. Or Kevin Dean? Is that it? I know they brought Chris Kelly back. Don't tell me that's... That hack, Chris Kelly's coaching the power play. But either way, where was he? Of course it's the Jacobs. Of course it's the Jacobs. Of course that's, you really want to bore it down and go to the head of the snake. And the real issue, it is ownership. And it always has been. When is the last time someone from ownership has spoken publicly on their hockey club? Did we get an answer on this? We can't find it. Did anyone tweet you, Murray?
No.
When's the last time?
I'm telling you, it was in that bar in South Bend.
It was the bar in South Bend. That's what it was.
That's a freaking disgrace. I mean, I know Jeremy Jacobs was quoted in the Globe story in the fall of 2019 when he said, I'm giving my team to my kids. And I get a pee. And of course, I love the quote was part of they're going to pay me proceeds. Like he's always, the money's always in there somewhere. Yeah, I'm giving it to them, but they're paying me. Like that's relevant. Like we care about the inner workings of your estate or whatever, but he threw it in there. And there was a quote in the Globe about that. Find me the last time Charlie Jacobs, Freddie Jacobs, I don't know their names, I'm making them up, Ronald McDonald Jacobs said something about their hockey team publicly, spoke for their team. I mean, there's absentee ownership, which is kind of what John Henry has become, and then there's the Jacobs, which is who is the owner and where are they, and do they have any freaking clue? Any clue?
Found a press conference on YouTube, end of season, that was posted here June 18th, 2019 on Nesson, and Jeremy Jacobs is speaking the beginning of it.
So the post-mortem, maybe they did a post-mortem, the pandemic. I get the pandemic, but we can have Zooms.
2019 would have been after the Blues series.
After the Blues series.
Okay, that was it. That's the last time anyone spoke publicly about, an owner spoke publicly about this team. Yes, Kevin?
Looks like he spoke with Nesson opening night about the improvements to his building.
Doesn't count.
That's the only thing I've got, the latest past 2019.
Doesn't count.
Was it Jerry or Charlie?
Charlie.
So Charlie spoke about the meatball parm you can get up on 9 or whatever. really that
Todd Angeli, how he sings the anthem and pours your beers.
Yeah, no, that's it. About the Founders Club up on 9 or whatever they call that thing. That's what it was. That's the last time he was talking about his quote unquote hockey team. I mean, of course that's what it is. Do they know? Do they care? Do they even have a clue about what the team is or what they've done or what's good or what's working or not working? Or they just, how many home playoff dates do we get? Because that's where these guys make their money. And is that all, that's all it's ever been? Has it changed? How would you know? No one even knows where they are or if they're paying attention. Neely told Charlie after the trade deadline that he wanted to extend Don Sweeney. And now here we are at the end of his career. It hasn't happened. Did Charlie get back to him? So, of course, that's where it starts. Here's Big Jim Murray with an update. We'll give you a Red Sox thought. The white whale, the Yeti, as I said last night. There was a Sasquatch sighting last night, Maz, at Fenway Park.
It was, yeah. No, Bigfoot was on the mound.
So we'll explain what that means after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bounding ball into the shift. Story spins, throws, he gets him. And Nick Pivetta goes all the way. A spectacular performance, a complete game. Who says that anymore?
Yeah.
Anymore.
You gotta love this game. Oh, he's been awesome all night. And he gave up a home run to lead off the game. A solo shot. Didn't let it affect him. He bounced back. Man, awesome performance. Hopefully that's not the last complete game we see of the year, but hey, you never know. That could be it in today's game.
It's the first for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I didn't want to come out after the last game. I felt like I could go the extra two innings, pick up the bullpen a little bit. You know, I felt good. I felt confident. I was in the zone. They weren't taking great hacks against me, so I just kind of ran with that.
The way he was looking at me, I was like, let me stay away. He might kill me. He had that look. He always jokes with me that I'm not going to let him throw a complete game. And today he kind of like will himself to do that. And, you know, you see the swings. They were late. They weren't able to recognize the slider. And, you know, we had our guys ready because it happens fast with that team. You know, we've seen it before. So, but he was amazing.
Look back last night on Nick Pivetta's complete game. As Dave O'Brien said on Nesson, how often does that happen? We have a few thoughts on this coming up, but first we have some breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ahead of Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final tonight between the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat, the Celtics have upgraded Al Horford once again. He is available. Al Horford in for Game 2.
I am not surprised. I'm not at all.
Me neither.
I mean, he was upgraded to doubtful. Murray said like 10 minutes ago he was upgraded to questionable.
Yeah, that happened today. Went from doubtful to questionable.
And by the way, we now have precedent with the McAvoy thing with the Bruins. The it turns out the COVID protocols in pro sports are now malleable.
Yeah, just finagle it. Don't stick the Q-tip so far up the nose.
Yeah, let me rephrase. Rig it. Lie.
It's like the NFL salary cap.
Yes.
It can be manipulated. It can be, it's malleable. These are not hard and fast rules. It's negotiable. And so Al Horford is in. Not surprised. Great news for the Celtics. Horford and Marcus Smart in the lineup. And Derek White out. And we'll get to all of this coming up when we turn to the Celtics next hour. But that's the latest right there. Al Horford in tonight and clearing COVID protocols or whatever the hell they did. Don't even ask. He's in. That's all you need to know. Nick Pivetta, complete game Red Sox last night. Maz, your thoughts?
Okay, holy crap. I looked out my window to see if there was a lunar eclipse. a complete game. Can you imagine that? A freaking complete game. The manager and the front office, The nerds must have been like shaken up.
No,
there.
No. There's a team of nerds up on the third floor at Fenway, sticking their hands in their armpits and rubbing them, and then sniffing them because like they don't know how to deal with that.
No, I think they were chomping at their fingernails, and I would know because I'm an expert at that. Seriously, I think they were chomping away there in the ninth inning. They thought the apocalypse was coming. Seriously, wow, what a development! Nine innings, fourth complete game in Major League this year. However, I looked it up. One of those four was only eight innings. Doesn't count.
Wow.
So in my mind, there have only been three nine-inning complete games in the Major League.
Oh, was it a rain delay?
No, they were losing.
Well, but...
In other words, you pitched the bottom...
It was a home team.
Right.
No, it was the road team.
Right. You got it. There's
No,
you got it right. It's the road team. You didn't have to pitch the bottom of the ninth. Because you lost the game already.
How'd they lose?
Just because he went the distance doesn't mean he didn't give up runs. They probably get shut out on the other side.
Oh, not a complete game shutout.
Correct.
How many complete game shutouts have there been?
Last night wasn't a shutout either.
It wasn't. Okay.
No, and in fact, I'll give Pivetta credit because he allowed a home run to the leadoff man last night in the first inning. Altuve took him deep. And then after that, he nailed it down, and they took control of the game, and they won it. And given what happened the night before, it was important for them. So, look, again, I'm all for, I don't think they're quite dead yet. They're close. But they won another series. That's two in a row. Fine, but it's going to take a while to dig out of it now, if you dig out of it at all. But the complete game, three of them. This year, three guys have gone nine innings. Walker Buehler of the Dodgers, Reed Detmers of the Angels, and now Pivetta.
And you know what is crazy? So again, I don't know why I was equating complete game shutout and shutouts together, but there have been 85 shutouts in baseball this year, Mez. 85 shutouts, but only four or three nine-inning complete games.
Correct.
And you know what the nerds upstairs say? Told you.
Right, exactly. See, it works.
It absolutely validates their methods. You don't let that starter out there the third time through. We get bullpen arms. We preserve the shutout. That proves our methods work.
Yes.
Which is gross.
There was a combined no-hitter this year in baseball already too, right?
Yeah, didn't they use like three guys?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. And look, again, this is it. The thing works, okay? But again, from an entertainment standpoint, isn't last night way better?
Yeah.
Of course.
What was the time of game? Wasn't it like 2 and 2:20?
6 p.m. start, 2:50-ish, 2:40-something game.
Yeah, and that's what they should be. Again, you got a guy out there mowing people down. Why take the ball away from him? Let him keep going. 2:38 last night was the time of game.
2:38, yeah. That's what they should be. So tell me what the numbers are for those shutouts with the combined shutouts where they're using eight pitchers. It's probably close to four effing hours.
Yeah, it's just, and again, I'm with Murray. And aside from, and that's a big part of it too. I'm not dismissing that part of it. The entertainment value. You see one guy perform at a high level. That's entertaining. That's what sports are. That's what Jimmy Butler was in game one, 41 points. One guy performing at a high level. Can you imagine if the nerds get hold of the NBA?
Oh, God.
Like really get hold of it? Oh, Jimmy Butler only plays 4 minutes a quarter, That's it. Only 4 minutes a quarter because we want maximum efficiency out of Jimmy Butler. So you can take the 41 points and shove them. But really, it's like you see a guy throw a pitch and complete a game, and you're like, wow, talk about a freaking unicorn. You got a brontosaurus on the mound at Fenway Park last night.
Okay, you can mix in the Horford news, the Red Sox stuff with our Bruins calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
Respect to a possible rebuild, do you think your fans can accept that?
Well, I don't know if... I mean, I don't think anybody really wants to watch losing hockey, and that's not the plan, is to start losing. I mean... You look at teams across the league that have lost a lot of hockey games over the number of years, and they are in rebuilds, and you know they get better draft picks and ultimately better players. But I think we've done a pretty good job the last 10, 11 years of trying to stay in that window to win. But eventually it does catch up to you. But we do, like I said, we do have some good young players in this lineup that hopefully we can build around in the next couple of years so we don't have to do a complete rebuild.
Yeah, there's no rebuilding. That's not what they do. And when they do it, they blow everything up. I mean, it's just what they do. And they, you know, I gave you the list of coaches before. Again, just starting with my lifetime, early 70s, when Harry Sinden took over as GM in the early 70s. Tom Johnson, Bep Godelin, Don Cherry, Fred Creighton. Harry came down then after he fired him. Jerry Cheevers, Harry came down after he fired him. Butch Goring. Goring or Goring?
Goring. Butch Goring.
But of course, Butch Goring, Terry O'Reilly, Mike Milbury, Rick Bonus, Brian Sutter, Steve Casper, Pat Burns, Mike Keenan. Robbie Fatorik, Mike O'Connell came down after he fired him. Mike Sullivan, Dave Lewis, Claude Julien, Bruce Cassidy. I think that's 21 I just mentioned. In that same time, here are the GMs. Harry Sinden, Mike O'Connell, Peter Chiarelli, Don Sweeney. 4 That's clear. Make the playoffs. Things start to get a little wonky. Fly up to Buffalo, blame the coach, fire the coach, start over with the new coach. It's been going on for 40 years. And this is exactly where I think we're at here. Today with Don Sweeney, Cam Neely, and Bruce Cassidy. It's just my read on it. Your thoughts, John in Charlestown. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just thought it was really telling with the Sweeney interview, and he was talking about, hey, when Bergeron leaves, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get another guy in his place. It's like, guy, like, you didn't know this guy was going to retire? You didn't know Krejci was going to retire? It's your job to have people in the pipeline. And Bruce Cassidy gets more out of this team than a lot of coaches would. I don't know what you think of that, Felge. He is absolutely the last problem. They've got to look at the organization that goes out there and scouts and just rebuild that. Just do better scouting.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I don't think the coach is a problem, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't change the coach. Because if he's lost the room, he's lost the room. But the thing about, you know, the Bergeron just doesn't grow on trees, and yes, that's true. But how many centers have you drafted here since Don Sweeney took over? I'll just give you a quick little snapshot. So 2015, unfortunately, was his first draft. I mean, I don't know. It felt like there were some pretty good forwards in that draft.
Definitely.
That you passed on.
They did. Well, that was
Barzal play center. I should know that. Barzal's a center. So I don't know. That feels like a pretty good. I was sitting right there. So, yes, you could have gone from Bergeron to Barzal if you drafted the right guy instead of drafting Zach Senyshyn.
He put himself, like you just went over the deals they made with Lucic, right? And Hamilton. He put himself in a position there to hit. He got himself a bunch of picks in a good draft. And then he whiffed. Think of that. But anyway, keep going. Frederick was another one that they drafted who was a center. Stadnica.
So I'm going to give you the list, but I just want to know what. So Barzal's a center. Like sometimes I get confused wing center, so forgive me on that. But, you know, they talk about, like, well, the Bergeron just doesn't grow on trees and you can go a generation before. No, he was out right on the board when you were picking 3 straight times. You passed him 3 straight times. And that actually could have been your guy. So, but either way, they still kept drafting centers. In 2015, instead of drafting Matthew Barzal, in the second round, they drafted Jacob Forsbacka Carlson from BU.
Right.
The next year at center, they drafted Trent Frederick in the first round. And then something named Juuna Kapanen in the fifth round. Oscar Steen in the sixth round. Year after that, they drafted a center named Cedric Perry. I don't know. They drafted Jack Studnicka in the second round. It seems like they've been drafting centers. 2018, in the fourth round, they drafted someone named Curtis Hall. Pavel Shen in the seventh round. They had another first-round pick in 2019. They went center there, too. Name's John Beecher. I think he sucks. I think he's may not be an NHL player. Hasn't come up yet. Don't know. In 2020, they drafted a center named Riley Duren in the sixth round. Who the hell knows? And last year, they went forward, Fabian Lysell, who's supposed to be great. Who the hell knows? I'll believe it when I see it, but he's a winger. And then they drafted a center named Brett Harrison in the third round. Either way, they've drafted centers. None of them can play. And when you draft the thing they said about, the great quote was when they drafted Frederick in the first round, they said he projects someday as a good third line center. It's like... Let's draft a grinder in the first round, guys. Great idea. That's perfect. So, no, that's the problem. Matt in New Bedford. Go, Matt.
I have no idea what is going on. The only good thing I thought about after they lost to the Hurricanes, Sweeney's got to be gone. Instead, they're re-signing him. Neely said that, oh, we have good depth. Yeah, maybe at the wings. They're begging Devi Krejci to come back for center because they have absolutely nobody if Bergeron retires. And then their defense is so top-heavy, it's like a girl with 34 double Ds on chicken legs. I mean, this is horrendous. This goddamn ownership group screws us more than if we were all on the bang bus.
They're just not paying attention. Some of that might have been borderline inappropriate. I don't know.
It worked a lot in there.
But yeah, either way, Neely said today, so if you went to the Jacobs after the trade deadline and said you wanted to re-sign Don Sweeney, well, why wasn't it done at the time? Well, I wanted to see how this year played out, said Neely. I wanted to see how the year played out. In my mind, the year played out badly. It played out poorly. You got bounced in the first round and were outclassed. Even though you somehow stretched it to seven games, I don't think it was... It was the least competitive seven-game series I've ever seen. It was the least competitive one-goal game seven I've ever seen. You got blown out 3-2. I don't think it went well. Do you think it went well since the trade deadline?
No, of course it didn't go well. No.
So then how does he... What were you looking to see? If he just missed the playoffs?
He was waiting to see if it was okay with ownership. That's what he was waiting to see. He didn't make this decision. Ownership did. He might have had to convince ownership, but ultimately, you know, he went to them and said, well, you know, here's what we did. We got in better position. We're going to be better going forward, and they believed it.
All right, we can bitch about this all day. It's a worthy topic. We will start to mix in some Celtics, and there was breaking news this hour on their lineup heading into tonight. Big Jim Murray has the updates right here, and then we come back and discuss that and the stakes for Jason Tatum tonight. I think that's pretty much the lead story as well. So no commercials here, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.